But actually, there are no such distinctions for the living entities who are eternally engaged in the service of the Lord. There is only a material world for those who want to imitate the Lord and become enjoyers. Indeed, the material world is nothing but forgetfulness of the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Creator of everything. The distinction between matter and spirit is created by the sleeping energy of the Lord, and the Lord wants to give some facility to those living entities who want to imitate the Lord in His enjoyment. It is only for them that this material world is created by the dormant energy of the Lord. For instance, sometimes children want to imitate their mothers and cook in the kitchen, and at such a time, the mother supplies them with some toys so that children can imitate her cooking. Similarly, when some of the living entities want to imitate the activities of the Lord, this material cosmic manifestation is created for them by the Lord. The material creation is therefore caused by the Lord through His material energy. It is by the glance of the Lord that the material energy is activated. At that time, the three material qualities are set into motion, and material energy is manifested first in the form of the Mahatattva, then egotism, then ether, then air, fire, water and earth. After the creation, the living entities are impregnated in the cosmic manifestation and they emerge as Lord Brahma and the seven great rishis, then as different demigods. From the demigods come human beings, animals, trees, birds, beasts and everything else. The original cause, however, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as verified herein. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5.1. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadit Adit Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam. Those who are covered by material energy cannot understand that the origin of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is summarized in the Vedanta aphorism, Janmadyasyataha, Vedanta Sutra 1.1.2. Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate dhimatva vajante maam bhuta bhavasanandita. I am the source of all material, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. When Krishna says that He is the origin of everything, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, He means that He is even the source of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Purusha Avataras, the material creation and all the living entities within the material world. Actually, the word Prabhava, creation, only refers to this material world. For since the spiritual world is eternally existing, there is no question of creation. In the Chatur Shloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord says, Aham Eva Same Vagre. I was existing in the beginning before the creation, Bhagavatam 2.9.33. In the Vedas, it is also said, Eko Narayana Asit. Before the creation, there was only Narayana. This is also confirmed by Shankaracharya, Narayana Parasambhita. Narayana is transcendental to the creation, Gita Bhashya. Since all the activities of Narayana are spiritual, when Narayana said, let there be creation, that creation is all spiritual. The material only exists for those who have forgotten that Narayana is the original cause. Vandeham Shri Guru Bhakti. sagrajatam sahagana pratamitam sanam sarvaitam sarvatam paridana sattvam krishna chaitanya devam sri radha krishna padam sahagana dalita sri visakhamitam sya he krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopesha gopika kanta radha sankara namostute tatta kanchana gaurangi radhe जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो वी आर चैंटिंग दी सॉन्ग सॉन्ग बाय लॉर्ड Let there be auspiciousness for all living beings. Lord Shiva starts his prayer by requesting the Lord who is all auspicious, who brings auspiciousness to all living beings, to bestow auspiciousness upon him. That prayer is very similar to Prahlad Maharaj's prayer. Let there be Let all Indians be pacified. So even there, Prahlad Maharaj will pray for the auspiciousness of all the living beings. So Lord Shiva, when offering prayers to the Lord, he starts off by offering prayers to the four predominating deities, Chakravyuha, who are in charge of consciousness. So Vasudeva is in charge of consciousness, Chitta. Interestingly, Bhagavatam begins by glorifying Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all living beings, and then he is conscious of this cosmic manifestation. So, just as the Lord is conscious of the entire cosmic manifestation, the soul is conscious of this body. Then, after offering respects to Vasudeva, then Lord Shiva prays to Sankarsana, who is in charge of the What is Sankarsana in charge of? False ego. He is also the master of integration, disintegration. That is Sankarsana, one who attracts others. Pradyumna, who is in charge of intelligence. Then the mind. So Aniruddha, who is in charge of the mind. So after having purified his consciousness, his ego, his intelligence and mind, Lord Shiva starts to see the Lord in the various material creation. So he is seeing the Lord in the form of Sun God. He is seeing the Lord in the form of fire, moon, Hiranyagarbha, the Virat Rupa, Vayu, which is air, then Nava, or sound. So, why is this being emphasized here is that Lord Shiva is not having a differentiated vision. He is seeing everything as Lord's energy and is offering respects to the Lord through the presiding deities of each of the organs which are there in our body. So, what is Surya or Sun God? What do you think? What is your guess about or what organs will be managing in our body?
Eyes.
Vision. Because without light, we can't see. So, which demigod is in charge of the mind?
Moon.
Moon. Yes. So after having purified his internal consciousness, his ahankar, buddhi, and mind. Again, here Lord Shiva is paying respects to Soma, or the moon god, who is in charge of the mind. Why? Because the mind is very hard to control, and he is praying to the Lord in the form of Aniruddha, and then he's praying to the Lord, who is also in the form of moon, to purify his mind. After having done those purification, he again prays to the Rudras. It's interesting that he's not praying to himself, he's praying to the Lord, who is taken form of Rudra, to protect him from false ego. So that he requests that the Lord's mercy, by the Lord's mercy, let his pure false ego go away, and then let his real ego be awakened. Having purified his body, senses and mind, then Lord Shiva glorifies the personal form of the Lord. And there's a beautiful description of the personal form of the Lord. The result of meditating on the personal form of the Lord is that your internal consciousness becomes purified. Devotion to this form gives freedom from fear of death, even to those practicing Varnashrama duties. So Lord Shiva is not encouraging everybody to leave their Varnashrama duties and go ahead and be in seclusion. But he is giving a practical advice as to how, by meditating on the form of the Lord, even when you are doing your Varnashrama duties, you can become purified. Now, not all of them will take up to the process of bhakti. There will be some transcendentalists who are attracted to the Brahman feature of the Lord, which is the all-pervading nature of the Lord. And where is material world existing? In that Brahman. So material world is existing in that Brahman. And this section of prayers of Lord Shiva talks about the relationship of the Lord with the material energy, the relationship of the Jivas with the material energy, the relationship of Jiva with the Supreme Lord also. Now, let's take the example. We have kids sitting quietly and listening here. And I started the morning doing chanting. Neeraj Prabhu was there, Gokul was there. I think it was today or yesterday. It was all going good. It was in the temple hall. And then suddenly Gokul wanted to go out. He wants to go out and play for some reason. So initially Neeraj Prabhu said no. And he kept on persisting. So then Prabhu had to get up, go out and do all the necessary arrangements. What we learned from that is you are given a nice environment in the spiritual world, but you want to imitate what the Lord is doing. So the Lord says, okay, it can't be done here. Alright, I have to get up, agitate the material energy, glance at it, create an environment for you to play. And that's another example given here, Prabhupada, is that when the mother is cooking, the kids also want to cook. but they can't deal with the actual fire. So, an imitation knife and the whole dummy setup is given to them. So this material world is like that. Once the kids know that the food which they are making from their toys is not filling their tummy, they are going to go back to their mother and ask for the real food. So the Lord is similarly waiting for us to go back to Him, and Saranga saying that, okay, we've had enough in this material world, we're coming back. So, you know how in software they ask for this before you actually start using, they say it's the terms and conditions, and then you say, I agree, I accept. So we can exit this world when we agree and accept that I have had enough, I agree, I accept, I can no longer live here. So give me, then only the next button will be enabled only when you tick those options. I agree. Otherwise, you can deny and then software will not work. So the whole purpose of this material creation is to make sure that you click the next button and then you say, I agree, I accept, I surrender, all those boxes tick, and then only the next button gets enabled. So then you enter into the service of the Lord. And before you click the next button, before you click that agree and all the service, there will be so many advertisements, pop-ups, they say, oh, maybe this is good, maybe this is good. And so we get sidetracked. And we put that chance to get all this material world on pause. Then we go back and click this hand, that takes us somewhere else. We click that hand. Has it happened to you? You sit first in the internet to do something, and then you do something else, the next half an hour is passed. So then you try to remember, what did they come here for? So what was they trying to do? So that's how tricky the material energy is. Then one may wonder, why should God present us with so many distractions? Why can't He just give this? And why can't He even take away the choice which the living entities have? So Lord does not want programmed rovers around Him, but He wants living and loving people around Him. So that's why He gives them the choice, so that they can make the right choice. So in front of the living entities there are various ways of enjoyment that is presented to Him. Now as I described, nearer to us to get up, go outside and create an environment for the kids to play. So let's see how the Lord gets up as Mahavishnu. He is glancing at the total material energy, and from the glance, the jivas impregnated, and then the time factor is entering into the material energy. Then the swabhava of the living entities and the karma. Swabhava is their nature and their activity, all are entering the material energy. At that time, material energy is still in a dormant state. That stage where it is in a complete equilibrium and is not starting to get agitated further is pradhan. Then the time factor is the one that keeps on agitating, and that's what makes the transformation happen. So the glance of the Lord in the form of time is agitating pradhan further, and then comes the three modes of material nature starting to manifest. Then comes mahatattva, where there is a predominance of sattva-gun and rajo-gun. Again, the time factor acts on it, then the mahatattva again gets transformed into ahankar, which is false ego, predominated by ignorance. from the false ego, then you have three kinds of energies which are coming up, which are the Jnana Shakti. And this is where you get the actual material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. The modes which are binding us are starting to appear. So false ego in the and is in combination with the mode of goodness produces Jnana Shakti and the mode of goodness. And along with that, the demigods in charge of the various senses, they also created the mode of goodness, and the mind is also created in the mode of goodness. Now, false ego in the mode of passion produces prana, the life, air, the senses, intelligence, and the energy, which is the Kriya Shakti. So, Dravya Shakti, Kriya Shakti. So, you have seen that. Then, false ego in the mode of, when it interacts with the mode of ignorance, that produces the subtle material objects and the gross material objects for us to enjoy. That is called the Dravya Shakti. So, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti and the Dravya Shakti. So interestingly, the mind is created in the mode of goodness, intelligence, the mode of passion. Then the gross material elements are created in the mode of ignorance. And along with them, now you can see that the arrangement for the living being to play or enjoy this material world is getting created. Then the demigods, and as described in this verse, Lord Brahma takes birth, and after that he starts the secondary creation based on the platforms created by him, by the Lord. Because the primary creation is done by the Supreme Lord, then Brahma comes in and does the secondary creation. So how do we view this from our real life point of view? Most of you will be managing some projects or working in some projects, right? You'll be working in some projects. So for a project, what are the things that you need for the project to function? What are you need?
Resources
in terms of what kind of resources? Good resources.
Man and
material. Yes, man, power, and then there's some material. And then do projects work on some, we need some capital, okay? What else is involved in projects?
Tools and equipment.
We covered that. I'm talking from a higher point of view.
Organization.
Yeah, resources.
Management.
One very key thing which is missing. In projects, can the projects go on forever? Yes, so then the time factor, right? Project means there's some timeline within which you do an activity, so then within that period you need to manage human resources, then material, whatever resources that you're getting, buildings or all that. So if you see this, this is how the Lord is perfectly managing us. So if we just have human resources, which is humans are there and they don't have an office to go to, or they don't have any task to do, or they don't have any thing to work on, then no work will happen. On the other side, if you just have buildings, machines, construction materials, but there's no manpower, still nothing will happen. So the Lord is making sure that both are there. And then you can't be just doing it forever, and then there's a particular timeline. According to the skills you have put in a particular department. You have accounting skills, you work in the accounting department. You have human resource management skills, you work in the HR. You have software development skills, you are put in the software department. Things like that. So, according to your guna and karma, you get a particular type of body. You are given a, that's your field of activity in which you can try to enjoy. And then you are forced to take birth in a particular family based on your previous karma. This is how the Lord facilitates us and He is monitoring us. In the real life example of working in projects, so they give you some space, they give you some role and responsibilities, and they give you some freedom also to work. It's not that everything is dictated to you and they are constantly pushing you to. So you are given, there are some restrictions, but within that you are asked to exercise your creativity, your skills to solve the problem. And as I said, there are some facilities and there are some roles and you need to act on, and there are responsibilities also. So the lower species which are described here, they don't have a job description. They are just there, their consciousness level is very low. Whereas we as human beings, we have more facilities than the other living entities. So with facilities comes what?
Responsibilities.
With facilities comes responsibilities. So human form is a facility, it is given to us, which is a combination of all the elements that we described. It is described in the purport. So you have a facility of seeing, which is governed by one particular demigod, then there is a sense of touch, then there is a sense of smell, sense of taste, sense of hearing. These are all very subtle, and then for each subtle element there is a gross element which you can enjoy. So for the sense of sight, there is a form, and then for the sense of touch, there is skin. Like this, the whole facility is given to us. And most importantly, humans have the knowledge acquiring senses, which is where the topmost facility for a living being is given, where you can acquire knowledge, and as you were studying earlier, you can click on the next button and then get out. Others don't have a choice, they just have to live with whatever other living beings. 8 million species, they don't have choice. Only the 400,000 species have a choice. So, if you look at the whole creation process, it all starts from a subtle to gross. Now, for us to exercise this knowledge aspect and gain the knowledge through the knowledge acquiring senses and apply it, that will actually tell us how to move away from the gross form of enjoyment, slowly refine our intelligence. With that refined intelligence, what will happen is you will be able to direct the mind in a proper way, and the senses will work under the mind. So that's the hierarchy which Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita. But however, the sense objects, the senses, they interact with each other and they are so powerful. Krishna describes that also. Any one of the wandering senses on which the mind focuses on can drag away the intelligence of a living being. So the sense objects and the senses, they present a proposal to the mind. Mind is always in the mood of enjoying sankalpa, vikalpa, I like or dislike. Always in a dual state. I want or I don't want. I hate or I love. So when these proposals is presented to the mind by the senses, if the mind is not guided by proper intelligence, it will take in a proposal and then start to mentally start to enjoy it. Means the thought of eating a nice food, only the thought is there, but then that is enough for the mind to get agitated. Now this proposal gets escalated and goes to its precedent to the intelligence. Now intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. Now the soul is meant to use the intelligence to see the objects as they are presented to them, rather than looking for enjoyment. The intelligence is meant to see that every creation that is present before me is a creation, it belongs to the Lord, and it is not for my enjoyment. So that's how the intelligence is supposed to work. But if the intelligence is weak, the proposal is submitted by the mind, the intelligence starts to accept it, and the soul believes that I can enjoy based on the proposal which is submitted by the senses, because it's all coming down from the senses all the way up to the mind and then the intelligence. So that's where the knowledge aspect which is presented here is very helpful for us to intervene and to strengthen the intelligence by referring to spiritual knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita is described that you cannot fulfill the desires by satisfying them. Puryamana achala pratishtam samudramapaha pravishanti yadva sadvatthamana pravishanti sarve sashanti mahamati natamakam. The desires will start to enter like the rivers which are entering the ocean. But without fulfilling those desires, if one is able to tolerate them, only such person can attain peace, not a person who tries to satisfy them. Because so many proposals will be given, because that's what the senses are meant to be doing. Now, how do we get out? Just through the creation is done from subtle to the gross. So to get all of the gross desires, the spiritual sound vibration is the starting point. So the power of sound is described that it can pierce through all the covering, especially the name, holy name. So by making sure that the senses are properly in place when we are hearing spiritual sound, because if each one of the senses is going in a different direction, it's not aligned properly, then you won't have concentration. So why is this knowledge given to us? So I used to think, why this creation is there from sound comes ether, from ether comes air, from air comes this. Why is this knowledge given to us? It is just to make sure that we focus on the way out of the biggest type of enjoyment which is present in the earth. It has got all the ingredients. It has got smell, form, taste, touch, everything. We are in that gross place, the earth element. We are there. So to get out of this is to be form sound. As I described earlier, within your own self, the creation begins in a very subtle form. You desire at the level of your mind, and then only through your willpower you act on it and then you get it. So to come out of this is to understand that the creation belongs to the Lord. That is through these scriptures we hear that spiritual sound of Bhagavata, Bhagavad Gita and the holy name. that will actually, and most importantly, seeing the personal form of the Lord, as described by Lord Shiva, that will actually go and satisfy the senses which are always trying to hold on to something external, thinking that it is meant for their enjoyment. But as per the description of Lord Shiva and as per the creation process, we see that we all come from the Lord and it belongs to the Lord. And he himself described that Aham Eva Samyavaka. It is I only who existed before creation, and it is his energy. So if you are using the resources of a company in the service of a particular company that you employ, then they will allow you to use. But if you are going there and you are using their resources and trying to do your own business, opening up some Amazon.com or other websites, and you do your own business and you don't do what you are meant to, then they will fire you. So similarly, if a person is able to see this creation as an energy of the Lord, and he is well acute with the knowledge of how to gradually get out of his material entanglement, then he will be able to use those same elements which are binding him to liberate himself. Just as I said, internal creation begins in a subtle way. So to get out of this is by focusing on the sound vibration. Thereby you focus on the form of the Lord, so knowing that the form and the name are not different. And by such internal purification, what happens is that the mirror of the mind is clear. So we saw a polluted mind whereby it accepted the proposal of the sense objects, and then it escalated all the way up to intelligence, and then finally the soul also got bewildered. So let's look at how this process helps you to clear your consciousness, chitta. Then you are slowly getting established in your real ego, which is, I'm an eternal servant of the Lord. Now, with this clear consciousness, that's what Lord Shiva prays in the beginning, you please purify my consciousness. You please establish me in my real ego as your servant. You please purify my intelligence, and you please purify my mind. So with a purified intelligence and mind, if the sense objects are presented in front of you, you will see them as the property of the Lord. And because you are internally satisfied and you are not trying to make various plans to satisfy your desires, and at this stage your only desire is to please the Lord, then the same sense objects which are presented in front of you can be used in the Lord's service. So we cannot control our desires by making elaborate plans how to satisfy them. That will actually increase the desires. So the desires can be kept under check. They can't be completely killed, but they can be purified. As far as material desires are concerned, they can be kept under check by not making elaborate plans how to enjoy such desires. Interestingly, I was reading Krishna book, that section where Krishna and Balaram are learning the 64 arts. One such art is fulfilling their desires, whatever desires they have. There Prabhupada writes that desires can be checked and controlled, and even when you are agitated by those desires, they can be checked and controlled by not indulging in them. And that's the I tried finding it in the 10th canto, but it was there actually in the Krishna book, that section where Krishna Balaram learned different Arjuna the heart is fulfilling their desires.
Yes, because it's only in the Krishna book. It's not in the tenth canto. I went for that too, but I couldn't find it. We need to learn that.
So, that Prabhupada talks about how the unwanted arousal, especially related to sex desire, can also be checked and controlled if one we come at a particular part. With this purified consciousness, with the purified mind and intelligence, even though the material energy presents in front of you various methods of enjoyment and things like that, as stated by Lord Shiva, one will not be tempted. This is in an ideal situation where we are not tempted. What happens if we get tempted and then we fall down due to one of the warming senses that attracted and we have given in and we have fallen down to some material pleasure? So I was reading this article by Mahatma Prabhu about, the title of the article is Choosing to Fall Down. I was quite curious, like, do I actually choose to fall down? But as I was reading the article, Prabhupada explains that first the article started off with a pretty heavy statement by Prabhupada where if you can't follow the four regulated principles, you are no less than an animal. Few other pretty heavy words. If you want to show love to me, then you must follow the four regulated principles. Mahatma Prabhu was talking about the fall down, especially the four regulated principles, and also other fall downs in general. If there's a very extreme situation, the circumstances were beyond your control, we're not talking about those accidental fall downs, those repeated fall downs that happen. Now, because at any extreme situation, your choice to choose the right action is not taken away from you, although it is extremely influenced. When you admit that I chose to fall down, I chose to fall down, then that gives you strength. If I choose to fall down, I can also choose to get up and continue and pursue my devotional service further. So falling down is an accident, but just making the choice to remain fallen and not trying to get up, that's your choice. So the moment you make a statement that I chose to fall down because of all the process that we described earlier, the proposal of the senses, the proposal of the mind and all that, we chose. In the same way, we can choose to exercise our will in the right way to get out of the fall down and not remain in that fallen state forever. So you get to a guilt trap where you're too guilty and you can't follow the four regulated principles, and because you're not following the regulated principles, you're guilty. That's goes on a vicious cycle. What Prabhu mentions is that you make a choice to be enthusiastic in your devotional service. He tells that when you understand that you have a choice, that gives you actually power to choose where you want to be, where you want to go. Now, based on how the creation is described and how various sense objects are there, This actually helped me to brainstorm, okay, what are my weak points? Where is material energy trying to attack me through? And how is the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and the Bhagavad Dharma helping me? So Prabhupada asks each one of us reading the article to brainstorm strategies, to come up with your own strategies to prevent yourself from falling down again. And this knowledge of how the creation works from the gross, from how the creation begins from the subtle to the gross, so we can understand that if we brainstorm and see that it all starts in the subtle form of desires, then we start to make plans. So if we don't do that, more specifically, which of our sense organ is more prone to be attracted? We need to come up with a strategy to defend ourselves and to engage with double enthusiasm when we are in a fallen state. And Prabhupada quotes Nectar of Instruction verse, Utsaham Nishtaya Daivya. So you choose to be doubly enthusiastic after you have had a setback, rather than remaining in that. If you choose to be in the fallen state, you can, and you can go down the downward spiral, or you can take up this brainstorm, come up with strategies how to prevent falling down. So the knowledge of the three modes of material nature there, and the Bhagavad Gita, and then the Srimad Bhagavatam also, 11th canto we have the description. And in the third canto, Lord Kapila also explains how devotional service also could be performed under the three modes. So the action item for us will be to go through the symptoms of the modes, what is inside us, how it is acting, and then the symptoms of devotional service and goodness, devotional service and passion and eagerness, where am I feeling into, and I went through, and I was kicking a lot of boxes in the devotional service and eagerness. You know, so went through the checklist. Is there, because another devotee had a tabular column of the three modes, their symptoms and devotional service in the three modes and their symptoms, and then used that, and then I was ticking boxes. So devotional service in passion means you want others to praise you, or you're too behaving with hard against other devotees and all that. So, even though you were doing devotional service, but these symptoms are also there. Then you need to come up with a strategy, okay, these are my weak areas, I need to work on them. Then we need to come up with strategies, again refer to Bhagavatam for solution. One such key principle that can be used to see is that everything belongs to the Lord, and everything is a creation of the Lord. Because we have forgotten that He is the original cause, and we are the secondary creators. In Gita, Krishna explains clearly that material nature is produces a cause and effect, but you as living beings, you create happiness and distress out of it. And Krishna is not giving this knowledge to material nature. He is not teaching this whole Gita to material nature. He is teaching this knowledge to living entity to make the right choice. So that's why you see that in the 13th chapter, Purusha Suga Karya Kara Kartrutve Hetu Prakriti Uchate. Purushaha Sukha Dukkhana Bhoktrutve Hetu. So that's how we see that we have to make that choice, and Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita's knowledge are helping us to make that right choice, whether we want to be in this material world and enjoy, or to leave material world and be in the world. I'll leave it there and see. see if there are any questions on what we discussed today.
Gracias.